Well, hi guys. This is Girl and a Panda.
Hello.
So today we're going to go and be looking at the life and execution of Eileen Warners. I can never pronounce her name right. Forgive me. So we're going to go from the start of her life to the ending of her life. We're going to go into every detail that we was able to discover. This might turn into a two-part podcast. We're going to try to make it where it's a one part, but most likely it's not because there's so much information about her. Now, just side note, if you hear some noises, whether it's children or like music from another area, please forgive us. One, the kids are up, so yeah. Two, my neighbors are being very loud right now, so yeah, that doesn't help. But yeah, so let's go ahead and get into the story. So, to start off a story, you gotta go to the foundation. And the foundation of this started in June 3rd of 1954, when Diane Warners and Leo Dale Pittman got married. So in less than 2 years from that day, Diane, on December 1955, filed for a divorce. 2 months later, on February 26, 1956, Diane gave birth to Eileen Carol Pittman. But with the fact of Leo never got to really see his daughter, never got to meet her. And this is honestly due to his own fault. He decided it was going to be funny or smart, whatever men thought at that time when they commit these kind of actions, that he would go ahead and rape and attempt to kill a 7-year-old little girl. Well, with that being said, guess what happened, asshole? You got locked up. So while he was in prison in 1969, he ended up hanging himself because he couldn't take the fact. So after that, well, a couple of years before he hung himself, Eileen and her brother, Keith, well, they went to live with their grandparents due to the fact that her mom went and just abandoned her there. And that was in January 1960. So on March 18, 1960, of that same year, Laurie and Britta, who are Eileen's grandparents, decided they were going to legally adopt Eileen and her brother Keith. Anything you want to put in?
Yeah. Well, for Eileen's parents, they were pretty young to be married, pretty much like at, what, 15 and 19?
Yeah.
So that's also hard for them. But also, Eileen's had a nickname, and they called her Lee.
Yeah, which I guess is from the Lee part of Eileen.
Yep. But also, you know, it seems like what makes her mother, like, if this guy is such a bad dude, why'd she marry him, number one? And number two is, how can, you know, I guess in the future run, since, you know, he did get arrested and did hang himself, it somewhat saved her, Lee, from having that kind of trauma. But there's more to this story that we'll unreveal.
That is definitely true. But here's the thing. Eileen's life wasn't that great, even with her grandparents. They were strict. They was very into what we say goes, and that's how it is. Which, granted, that's how a lot of parenting are. I can honestly say that in my household, it's what I say, and that's how it's going to be. You can voice your opinion. I'll take it into consideration. But if I see that it doesn't work out, then we're going back to my rules. But at the age of 14, Eileen was exchanging sexual favors for cigarettes, drugs, and food.
Girl, I also want to sort of add in is that at a very young...
You're bending the bug.
Oh, sorry. At a very young age for Lee, mm-hmm. her brother Keith and I think Keith's friend Mark, they were having, I think she was like at four or something like that, was they had like a, built a little fort out. She built a fort out back in the woods to mm-hmm. somewhat hide away from certain things, like her own savior. Well, her brother Keith was having sex with her at four.
Well, it's kind of funny that you brought that up, because I have in my notes that she was rumored to having sexual activities with him.
I'm showing with my information is even also saying people, someone at her trial or her friends, mm-hmm. The other person saying that they saw this in the fort or also participated in it. Well, that's what I use as my reference. I use all my stuff, all myself. So if I use a book, I use a book.
No, it's not about you use the book. It's how you're bending the book.
No. But also, when she was growing up too, since you went on to what, age 14?
Yeah, we're at the age of 14.
When she was 9, like you said, this started her basically her trend. She was having oral sex, in which I don't understand at 9 how you... You would think, oh, this is all right, but she was doing for cigarettes and stuff like that. But also, a lot of the children kept on calling her nickname a cigarette pig. And also, her so-called boyfriend at the time, people were throwing rocks at her, and he joined in. So I'm like,
well, if you watch the documentary, Eileen, the selling of. I think it's the selling of a murderer, if I'm right. It was called, I can't recollect right now that well. But in it, they actually interviewed the guy because he was as a witness on the stand. And he even said it, you know, when they were alone privately, he would say, yeah, they were boyfriend and girlfriend. But whenever she wanted to do the boyfriend and girlfriend stuff outside in front of the public view, he said no, he would tell her to go get the F away, to leave him alone, you know, that she was ugly, she was this, she was that. And yeah, he would even throw rocks at her. So yeah, there is facts of that and even from his own words. So yeah.
Oh, that's very interesting. Also, here's a really messed up, I would say, thing. When she was 12, she was at a party. Mm-hmm. She got so plastered, she ended up passing out in a fetal position. And two boys at the party decided to have their way with her. And nobody stopped it at all. They just let that happen.
See, this is the sad part, is that in that era, females were not something of admire, of appreciation. I think more so nowadays, females are more appreciated and understand that, you know what, I could go to the police and report your ass if you're doing this shit to me. That consequences back then, I don't think was really like there. Because this would not be the first nor the last time she was taken advantage of. That she even claimed to be sexually and physically abused by her grandfather.
Yeah. It seems like her grandfather was pretty much like old school. Mm-hmm. Like if you didn't do what he told you when there, he wouldn't think twice about whooping your butt.
Yep.
It's basically his way or the highway. But also, a little bit backtracking is like, if she's at school or anything is happening, you would think some of the teachers would pick up something. Like, she would, you would think if she was at school, she would be irate or there'd be something wrong and they would be able to see this.
Well, that's the thing is that if you look at any of the documentaries, Eileen had the thing to be able to have it where she could tell you a lie and it could seem like it was the truth. She'll blank out her face so you can't be able to see her expressions. And she would cover herself up. She would not let you see that weakness.
Yeah, that's very true. But also, it seems like she's, whatever started, it was, she's tormented. But it looks like that her grandparents tried to get her help, like to be a therapist, but there was no progression to see a light at the end of this tunnel. Her behavior just became harder and harder. She, you know, would outburst, you know, would have basically short-tempered, or then she would turn her anger into basically want of fighting or anything like that. And it seems also what some of my information is that at home she would try to start fires and she ended up suffering facial burns, and that's what she ends up, what, you know, why would you ruin your face? Your face is like almost your image to the world.
It's your identity. It's how you're represented. You know, and like that's one thing I would always, my mom always taught me was, you never hit somebody in the face because you're disrespecting their identity. And I would never do that to anybody unless you try to like swing at my face and we weren't going at it. But on the other side of this, when you feel so little about yourself and you feel that, because back in the day, being honest, before she started to do the thing of the hitchhiking and all like that, and life just took a toll on her, she was very beautiful. She had a nice body and everything like that. And with that factor, she probably took into consideration, well, I am pretty. I do have a nice body. Maybe if I'm ugly, they'll stop.
But that's a very good point. But I think back then, I don't think it matters. Whoever seems like these guys, no matter who these boys, no matter who they, what they were, if they wanted to do what they wanted to do, especially for her doing drugs, alcohol, which it makes me wonder how she got her hands on that, but she must
have used. Oh, come on, it was the 1960s.
But she probably used her influence to get other stuff. It's like she's creating the world that she wants to be in. She's getting drunk and then people are taking advantage of her. But at some point, you would think she would say, I want to do better. But I think her character or her image or maybe her personality doesn't understand that because nobody was there to protect her. She feels like she's alone.
Well, if you think about it, she doesn't really have that female role model. You know, like most girls, they look at their mom as this is how a female is supposed to be, you know, and with her mom at the age of 15 getting married, that right there told her, you know, you're worthless. And nothing against at that time of the young marriages, because I understand that was back in the day, but what she saw and what she lived through is what she became. So let's go to 1970, when 14 years old Eileen, okay, with all the accusations of the sexual activities with her brother, with the accusing her grandfather of sexual abuse and physical abuse, with the sexual favors for cigarettes and drugs and other stuff, she ended up becoming pregnant from a friend of her grandfather's, but it wasn't willing. Once again, she was taken advantage of, and she was raped by a friend of her grandfather. Now, what kind of, what kind of friend would do that to a little girl? Because if you're a friend of her grandfather, that means you're an old fucker, okay? And sorry for my language, but yeah, that just ticks me off. Because, come on, you know, she's only 14 years old. Sorry.
Well, it looks like with what I have reference to is it was some kind of local man named Chief. And it doesn't say that he's friends with my information, friends with the dad. But I guess he was known, a local known pedophile. And it looks he was always trying to entice kids to come into his house.
I did hear in the documentary about that. But if you think about it, with the way her her grandfather is, the way her father is, she's basically in a circle filled of people who are this type of men.
But that's true. But also, when she did have the kid, you know, the stipulation was that it was her brother's or this guy's named Chief's. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it looks like that's kind of weird. I wouldn't say weird, but you would think there'd be a lot more people, because especially how many people take advantage of her.
Well, that's the thing, is that no one's going to want to really admit to going and getting a 14 years old pregnant, especially if you're a grown ass man. Okay. So with that being said, she ended up giving birth. She ended up giving birth to her child, at a Young's, mother's for un, okay, a young girl's home for unwed mothers. It was back in the day that this is where they had these like little things for girls who got pregnant, and then they automatically would give them their baby up for adoption.
Like a paternity hospital?
Like a what?
Maternity hospital?
It's kind of like that, but not really. It's more like a midwife kind of stuff. And basically, girls, whoever, who had children at a young age, would go and go there, give birth. The child goes up for adoption, and they can try to go back to living their normal teenage life and try to go back to norm, which, I'm sorry, but Eileen was far from living the norm, okay? She had every obstacle that can be thrown at a young girl. It was thrown, and it was thrown hard. But a few months after the birth of her child, she drops out of school, okay? And then around the same time, her grandmother, who to her was like mom, dies of liver failure. And then a couple months later after that, when she's 15 years old now, her grandfather, because son of a gun can't handle his own freaking depression and his own grievance, you know, he basically blames Eileen for his wife's death, saying that she was the cause of everything. It's her fault. And he throws her out. So what she ends up doing, that fort that she built in the woods, she ends up living in there. And then to survive, she would prostitute herself, okay, to be able to have a few bucks for food, for somewhere to just maybe shower for a moment. Because some of these guys would take her to a hotel, do what they gotta do. She'll take advantage of that part and be able to take a shower and be cleaned. Some of them will give her money. Well, they all had to give her money. But they would give her money and she would buy food. She'll buy whatever she needed at the moment. But that's a sad life to live, you know?
I think she, for her doing these duties, I think she only like offered them like $30 to do that, which was, you know.
Well, no. When she was younger, okay. For, I'll say the polite way, for an oral sex event, she would charge $5. So you could get your Sparky on, okay? You had only to pay $5. Now, I'm sorry, chica, you sold yourself short. To go ham on her, and trust me, I'm using the nice gestures of words. But yeah, to go ham on her, it was probably about like maybe 10 to 30, depending on what you wanted to do. But yeah, a lot of it was very low price. Granted, think about it. She's 15. She does not know how much she wants, you know, this is not where a 15 years old child should be at. Okay.
I also want to put in place, to backtrack a little bit, that I don't know if you said this or not, but her mother basically dropped her off at the parents' house, and then she just vanished really quick. And
well, she left to go to Texas to be with another guy.
But also, the grandparents ended up adopting her. And
we said that.
Yeah, but they ended up, Eileen or Lee didn't really know that until they told her this because she was at such a young age, and I think that cut it, you know, put a damper on, you know, what do I really, you're not my mom, why should I listen to you?
I don't think it really was the you're not my mom, why should I listen to you? Because she even still, before her death, she still claimed that they were her parents no matter what. I just think that most kids who are told about, oh, you're adopted from Jump Street, they do have that moment where they're hurt. They feel like, what the hell? What did I do wrong? Why couldn't they love me? Even though you're taking care of them at the moment, they see it as, what's wrong with me? So they're going to let their crazy and wildest emotions come out.
That's very true. So, on next word?
Onward. Okay, so let's jump about like 4 more years down the line, which would make her 19 years old. Okay? So, on May 27th, 1974, Eileen was arrested in Jefferson County, Colorado for DUI, disorderly conduct, and firing a .22 caliber pistol from a moving vehicle. Then later on, she was charged, okay, with failure to appear. Do you really think she freaking gave a damn?
No.
So then, in 1976, Eileen hitchhiked to Florida. She met and married 69 years old, Louis Gratzfeld.
Yep, and she traveled all the way to Florida. Did you say Florida?
Yeah.
I'm not paying attention.
No, you're not, because we already recollect that she got a DWI, disorderly conduct, and firing a pistol in a moving vehicle when she was in Jefferson County, Colorado, and how that in 1976, Eileen hitchhiked to Florida, where she married, okay?
Yeah, it looks like this guy was very wealthy and was a president of a yacht club.
Yep.
So he was all like, aye, aye, captain, away.
No, that would be a ship.
Yeah, well, he can be the ship.
A yacht and a ship are two different things.
Yeah. If you're rich, it doesn't matter.
Does too.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
Because you pay people on the ship to do what you want.
Yeah, but on a yacht, there's not that many people as there is on a ship. Trust me, I grew up with Navy officers, and they will tell you, don't you compare our ships to some little skimpy yachts.
kind of weird that this old timer who tried to, you know, marry her just instant, like really quick.
Well, I think what it was the fact that, once again, I say, if you look at pictures of her when she was in her youth, she was, honestly, she was beautiful. She was, oh, I mean, gee, like, drop dead gorgeous. Okay. And they, I think it was more out of the fact that they both wanted companionship. Mm-hmm. And she was so young, and he was, and she figured this is will be a safe, you know.
Safe bet.
Well, yeah, safe bet, you know, someone where it's not really going to be about sex. It's going to be more about wanting to speak and wanting to talk. So there I can see why she probably, you know, did that. Plus, she's in dire need of a father figure. So most of the time when girls marry older men, it's because they're looking for that father figure, which is a sad thing to do, but yeah, she did. But not even that long into the marriage, Lewis went and took out a restraining order out against her after she assaulted him. Now listen to how freaking crazy she is. She assaulted him with his own cane. Like, she was hitting him with his own lovely walking stick. Like, are you fucking crazy?
He's old. What do you expect?
Yeah, but you could beat him with anything else. Why his own?
Because that's the closest thing she got. And plus, she was, you know, you would think after being married, I'm not saying she was changed a little bit of her ways. She never changed any of her ways. She kept on being who she was.
She still had the aggression. Like, yes, he got her where they were going to bars that were not your normal truck stop bars. They were going to nice bars, you know. They were going to nice bars. They were dressing nice. And Panda's being the butthead by mimicking me.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, if we had a camera, they would see.
No, they wouldn't.
They would see we had a camera.
No.
Okay. So, with the whole restraining order, she went back in July 14, 1976. To Michigan, where she was arrested for assault and disturbing the peace when she threw a cue ball at the bartender's head. Now, I'm not going to laugh at that, although the sight in my head is kind of like looking cartoonish and it's kind of sounding funny. But, ouch, like what the hell pissed you off, girlfriend? Then, 3 days later, on July 17th, 1976, her brother Keith died of esophageal cancer, which is throat cancer, and Eileen received $10,000 from his life insurance.
So she basically got it because next of kin, I'm assuming?
Yeah. And then on July 21st, Eileen and Lewis annulled their marriage after just 9 weeks of being married. That's a short-ass wedding. Well, nobody could beat Britney Spears, though. 23 hours later.
It seems like she also blew through that $10,000 real quick.
Yeah.
With.
But she did make sure to get back to Florida.
Yeah, so, but once she lost all the $10,000, she basically just went back to
her
old ways, but also adding on to, like, robbery. Mm-hmm. She's just doing whatever she wants to do, because it seems like no matter what, if she gets caught, it's just like a slap in the hand, and then I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm on my own doing whatever I want to do.
True. Sadly, but true.
And it's becoming where it's turning into her life is turning basically into the Twilight Zone, I would call it.
So with that being said, on May 20th, 1981, Eileen was arrested in Edgewater, Florida for armed robbery in a convenience store. Guess how much she stole?
$35.
And?
A pack of cigarettes.
No, two packs of cigarettes.
Oh, apparently she got greedy and wanted more.
So, I'm sorry, it's just the way you say it, it's comical. Okay, sorry. I get the look from him like, moo. Okay, but then on May 4th, 1982, she was sentenced to jail. Da, da, da.
Time to be somebody's
woohoo. I don't know. I don't see her as the person to be somebody's dick.
I'm thinking if once you're in there and somebody wants to make you down on your knees, they're going to make you down on your knees because they got groups.
Yeah, but I don't know. Something about her personality. I think people either want to stay away from her or not really associate. You could tell who's a psycho. Maybe it's just not me. I can tell who's psycho and who's not. Although sometimes that I don't pay mind to it.
I don't know. People in jail have been there for a long time. They want to make you get on your knees. They're going to make you get on your knees. Well, it
depends. Do they want you? That's all. That's what it depends on. Or if you look like somebody who they would want to have, then okay. But if you have nothing to give them, why bother you?
Power.
It doesn't matter, though.
Yeah, it's.
I want to ask you a question. She has no money at this moment. So basically, if they wanted to make her their bitch, what can she provide them with? Nothing.
It's all power move in there.
Huh?
It's all power moves in there.
Yeah, if you use the person, if you take, say, let's say, you.
No.
No, 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 no. If you were to go into jail,
nope.
They would take advantage of you due to the fact that one, no offense. But you're short. Two, you look like the person who came from a good lifeline, okay? And probably have cash. Because one factor, you're Asian. So they do think that you have money. Because most Asian people are considered to be smart, intelligent, technically advanced. Okay? And what happens? They're going to assume that you got money behind you. Okay. So, with that being said, they might take advantage of you because of your features and the way you look. But a trashy looking white chick? Nah.
We don't know. You're just using stipulation.
I'm using facts, man.
Stipulation.
It all depends on how a person looks. If you look like you got money behind those trees, okay, well, go ahead. But if you look like you're dirt poor from the freaking South, yeah, you ain't going nowhere.
You never know. Especially if you want something in jail, you have to give up something.
Okay, we're gonna agree to disagree on the fact of whether she was somebody's B or not.
Okay.
Okay.
Onwards. Again. Chop chop, Missy.
Oh well, if you stop interrupting me about saying about who's a B and who's not.
Hello? Hello?
But here's the thing. She was released on June 30th, 1983. On May 1st, 1984, she was arrested again for passing forged checks at a bank in Key West.
Key West?
Yeah, she was in Key West.
Key West?
Yeah, Key West. What am I saying? Am I saying it wrong? It's Key West. He's just being mean to me now. First she's saying that she was somebody's bick, and now it's... Okay, but onward. So on November 30th, 1985, she was a suspect in a theft of a
robbery?
No, not robbery. A revolver? It's a gun.
Yeah.
How do you say it?
A revolver?
Da! That's the one. And ammunition in Pasco County, Florida. So, poor child. On June 4th, 1986. Hey, that's my mom's birthday. Okay. Eileen was arrested in Miami for guess what?
Robbery.
But what kind?
Stealing.
Obviously, robbery is stealing, smartass.
Let's see. Breaking into a house.
No.
Stealing cigarettes again? And booze? Nope. Prostitution?
No. She was arrested. She was arrested for grand theft auto, resisting arrest, and obstruction of justice because she provided the ID of her aunt with her aunt's name on it. So at this point, she's already using aliases.
Pretty sure she used aliases anyway when she was skipping bail throughout the whole time.
Probably. So Miami PD found a .38 caliber revolver and a box of ammunition in the stolen vehicle. Can you put yourself any more further into the fact that they now have proof that you stole this shit?
Yeah, well, you gotta think, though, back then, a gun law wasn't as, it's more usable than now. You hold a gun now, you're going, unless you don't have a permit for that thing, you're gonna be in deep, deep trouble.
Well, that's the difference from back then and now. That's the sad part, though. So 6 months later, on June 2nd, 1986, Volusia County, Florida deputy sheriffs detained Eileen for questioning after a male companion, basically a John, accused her of pulling a gun on him and demanding $200. She was found carrying ammunition, and this time a .22 pistol was found under the passenger seat where she was occupying. Then, same month, she meets Tyria Moore, a hotel maid in Daytona. Now, they met at a gay bar. Eileen did not know it was a gay bar. She just was trying to get out the rain and went in there.
She was sure she wasn't too drunk.
No, she at that point, she had yet to drink. She was contemplating that day whether she should just off herself, what was her next move, what was she going to do. But with that even being said, they eventually moved in with each other, and Eileen had to support them with her working girl earnings. And I say working girl to give her a little bit of, like, let's not use so much hooker and prostitution. We'll give her a little bit more of a class.
Why don't you just say she was doing special needs?
Well, because if you say special needs, they might think that it's a special needs person.
She's certainly special, right?
Listen, fella. I'm not going in that topic. I can't.
Yeah, but it seems like she's worked from like 6 a.m. to whenever she could, you know, stop. Whenever she could make her time, but she would probably assume having a certain amount in her mind, money-wise, I need to have every single day. And she was using often starting to whatever you want, starting off at $30. Mm-hmm. And then wherever else she can make up her mind.
Yeah. So then on July 4th, 1987, Daytona Beach PD detained Eileen and Tyria at a bar for an incident in which they were accused of assaulting and battery with a beer bottle.
A beer bottle? Really?
A beer bottle. Hey, we used a walking cane already. We used a cue ball already. Okay? What's next? A beer bottle.
A pen.
I think that would be later on. Sorry, we don't mean to make fun of that whole aspect. It's just, I don't know. My theory is if you're going to use a beer bottle in a fight, it kind of just seems like that was just the most convenient thing. It sounds like a typical bar fight. You know, you always hit somebody over the head with a beer bottle. Hope they can get knocked out so you get the fuck out. So, on March 12, 1988, Eileen was accused. Well, no, not was accused. She accused a Daytona bus driver for assault. She claimed he pushed her off the bus following a confrontation, and Tyra was listed as a witness to this incident.
She got beat up by a bus driver.
Well, it was about time somebody defended themselves.
Was there any conversation or anything with that when Tyra was brought in about this?
I don't have anything in mind. Do you?
Let's see. It looks like when she was in the office with the police. Tyra heard a conversation when Lee was being interviewed by the cops, which I don't know if this is exactly word for word, but it says, when I have somebody, I love them all the way, and I love them with all my heart and my soul and all my mind, and I'll do anything. I'll go nuts. It seems like she was very, 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 very in love, like fell hard for Tyra, which it's sort of weird that she fell so hard for her, especially going through each step of her life, which I guess that could make sense because, you know, it's not like another girl did wrong with her. Let's see, all the guys she's had in her life.
Well, yeah, think about it. Her dad did her wrong.
Her brother did her wrong, who was supposed to protect her.
Her grandfather did her wrong.
Her grandmother tried to fix her, but couldn't. There was no really much fixing in it because Lee was already damaged.
She's sad to say.
Basically damaged goods.
If you want to put it that way. So, do you want to go into the murders or shall we leave that for the next episode?
I would probably leave that for the next episode so, you know, we, you know, can add on to more stuff. But it seems like, though, at the end of this, Tyra decided to leave her. Lee. Am I wrong?
Well, she left. Tyra left. Eileen. Once they basically pinpointed to the fact that Eileen had to be the one who did the killings. But not without wanting to do the thing to get money out of it. Like, there was a whole case where it was basically saying that the only reason Tyra went and got away with being an accomplice to this was because she gave her testimony in exchange for complete immunity. And she tried to make money out of the story of this. So, my thing is, I have no respect for you, Miss Tyra.
Well, I think
get stitches.
I think basically,
if you want to go into the jail talk, we can go jail talk. Snitches get stitches.
But I think basically this comes down. This was relationship was bound to be destructive, and eventually it was just like a ticking time bomb. Eventually it was going to blow, and it blew at the wrong time. You know, once Tyra got caught by the cops, she was going to say anything.
Oh, she was a weakling, yo. She weak.
But
I think my kids got more strength, more backbone than she does.
It depends on which one.
Well, no. Think about it. They help to defend each other. They'll all sing the, I don't know, okay? I don't know.
Depends on which one, because one will tell everything about one thing.
If we go to my youngest one, that one can hold his tongue until he realizes, oh, y'all snitch on me. Okay, I see how this is. Now, let me tell you how the story really goes then. But, yeah, you know, comical sense. That's my life. Haha. But, no. So, what we're going to do is we're going to end it right here, and we're going to save her murders, because they were really quick murders. It wasn't like she actually took time and did all this. They were very hasty.
They were basically all picked out. I think she picked each one out, didn't she? Like, she knew.
She says that she did, but I felt like when they did something, or they, being honest, the first murder is what actually set her off. And we're going to get into more detail about him than the others, because this first murder, there's like so much story behind it that the other guys, sadly, because of this first asshole, made it where that one thing that they did, they could have leaned over the wrong way. She felt you were going for something to go and harm her. You were off. You were there. You were, I'm going to fuck you up before you go and do it to me. You know, and that was honestly, that was the whole case and scenario with her. But yeah, so come next week, we're going to talk about the murders. We're going to get into her first murder. Son of a butthead.
Calm down, Sparky. Calm down.
I'm not Sparky. I don't go spur, 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 spur.
Okay. Yeah, you do.
No, I don't. I'm not a firecracker.
Depending on what time.
I'm an atomic nuclear bomb. Pachow. Okay. But no, in all seriousness, so we're going to go into the killings. We're going to go into her trial, which, weirdly, this is the first time I ever heard of, there was a trial for each one of these guys. I'm sorry, Ted Bundy didn't get that. And here's the thing. She wasn't given the chance to have sort of life in jail. It was automatically, you're going to death.
Depends.
Honestly, Ted Bundy got a chance to either choose life in jail, to choose life, a life sentence, or be put to jail. I mean, put to death. And then we're going to go into her appeals. And then finally, when she had enough and she said, just send me to my home. Basically, heaven. And then we're going to go into...
How does she get to go to heaven?
Listen, our God is a forgiving God. Don't think that just because you freaking did something wrong. If you honestly, my opinion, if you honestly feel that you have remorse, you are sorry for what you did, and maybe there was a legit reason. In my opinion, I think she really did have a legit reason to kill the first guy. Maybe not the other guys, but the first guy, he definitely had it coming to him.
Okay? That's fine. But eventually, you need to have mercy.
She did. She felt, honestly, she did always. One thing she always kept saying was she was sorry for taking these men away from their loved ones. She was sorry for the loss of the families.
When she got caught, what if she didn't get caught?
She was the one who turned herself in, though. She turned herself in. It wasn't that, they went and hunted her down like that. They didn't do an actual, like, manhunt like they did with Ted Bundy or Denver cannibalism one.
A baby.
Okay. But at the end of the day, so next episode, you're going to expect all these informations, and we're going to go ahead and try to stick to a timeline with everything and in an orderly fashion way so you get all the info on this young lady, okay? Because, yes, she deserves it. She was the first female serial killer.
A monster.
Oh, she wasn't that bad. She only killed 7 people. A monster is Ted Bundy, okay? And he was damn good doing it, too, okay?
Okay, so this is Girl and Panda.
Say bye, guys.
Peace.